Pray after me. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and our King, give me eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to perceive, and the will to obey your word today in Yeshua's name. This week's Parsha, as we've noted, is Bereshit, in the beginning. This accounting of the creation of the world is so important and so vital to our faith and our walk with God. It's no accident that the creation account has been totally discarded by our educational institutions in favor of evolution. If God is not the creator, then God is not who he says he is, nor is he the God of the scriptures. Our society is littered with people who have gone away to college, having a faith in God, only to be inundated with contrary thought, theories, and ideas. They go in believing, but come out non-believing. This is why this parsha is so important. God has left us with the truth of not only how it all began, but also, and equally important, about who he is and the way in which he works. God is telling us something about the world we live in. It's the age-old question. People want to know, how do they fit into this context of life? And God gives us the truth. And I want to tell you a word to parents. It's your responsibility to train your children in the way they should go. Okay? And even though your kids will go away, no doubt, to get educated in certain disciplines, it is still your responsibility to teach them the truth about the Word of God, that they would go into college and be able to survive these false theories that they are told. Right? And there is, don't get me wrong, there's a place for science. And I know we have scientists in our midst, and we're thankful for it. But as it pertains to the origins of the world and of who we are as a species, this chapter is of the utmost importance. And it is why HaSatan, the deceiver, the accuser, goes so vehemently against these first two chapters in Bereshit. Because if he could erode the foundation of faith, there is no faith. Tehillim 19 and 1 says, the heavens tell of the glory of God. The skies display his marvelous craftsmanship. That's what the word says. So here we see the truth that the heavens or creation tells the story about God. And it's no wonder that the minions of darkness have gone out of their way to spin a new story to get mankind off the right and narrow path. Don't you know, realize it, 100 years ago, way more people believed in the God of the Bible than today. HaSatan has been working overtime to get people into doubt and unbelief. So prolific and diligent these efforts have been that it has led to so many to go astray and into a lifetime without God. Think of that. A lifetime, imagine going into college believing in God, coming out not believing in God. And in your early 20s, live the whole rest of your life, or perhaps, and prayerfully, God gets a hold of you, but to live a lot of years, not even believing that the Creator exists. That's not a good thing, is it? Because without God means an eternity of torment, separated from him. Not good. God has spoken to us and wants us to know that not only is he a transcendent God, but he's an immanent God. Not only did he create the world, But he's in the midst of the world. Amen? Working, relating to his creation. The scriptures tell us that God created the world from nothing. And in an orderly way, moved from the most primitive forms of creation to the most advanced, man. In a beautifully and carefully structured poem of creation, God creates from day to day until he rests on the seventh day, the Shabbat that we're doing today. And Romans tells us, listen to this, what may be known about God, isn't this important? What may be known about God. Because we talk about knowing God a lot, don't we? What may be known about God is plain to them. He's speaking to the people of the world because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, that goes back to our parsha today, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. Doesn't it say that? Is that what the word says? They have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. What does that tell us? That we should be able to look at creation and see its order and design and figure out that there's a designer. Is that so hard? If I built an elaborate Lego set of the third temple right here in front of the thing. I mean, think about a million-piece Lego set. I know you guys are getting excited. There's some Lego fans in the crowd, I can say. And you built that set, and you walked into, you know, this service, this Shabbat, and saw it, you wouldn't say, oh, my goodness gracious, that thing just came out of the sky. Unbelievable. You would immediately know that someone put it together. Someone was behind it. Someone did it. It's so structured. It's so detailed. No one just opened a box of Legos and poured them out and developed the third temple, right? Well, this is what this verse is telling us, that God's invisible qualities, his divine power, is clearly seen by what has been made. We see a design. There's a designer. You know what the truth is? We need go no farther than the human DNA to say that God exists. It's not a stretch, by the way, for God's people who were made in the image and likeness of God to model our lives after the ways of God, right? And which is why he gave us the Torah. So what we see here in Bereshit about God can be a model for us to pattern. Amen? Because we're made in his image, in his likeness. Myrna brought up one aspect of that, that God spoke and it was. In one translation I was reading this week, it's really cool. As you go down the list, it says, if you read the beginning of the paragraph and the end, God spoke and it was. God spoke, 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 and it was. You and I are made in his image, in his likeness. And Myrna was bringing out how the words we speak have. Now, we don't have the power of God, where we're going to create things like God did. But our words affect our lives. Trust me, the words you speak to your children matter. You better be speaking good words. You better be speaking God's words. Because the words that they hear in their hearing matter. And they will bear fruit in their lives. So that's just one aspect. So let's look at a few things today. And the first thing I want to talk about is God makes something out of nothing. Bereshit bara Elohim et hashemayim ve'et ha'aretz. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Hebrew verb bara, created. Okay, says Ibn Ezra Nachmanides, employed by this verse. Look at this. Specifically means the creation of something from nothing. See, there's one thing to give a carpenter a pallet of wood, a hammer, nails, a screw gun, and screws, and say, build something, right? Even I could do that, and the sukkah that we had in here is evidence of my attempt with a lot of help. I'm a son of a carpenter, but don't claim to have any real skills as a builder, for sure. But even I could build simple things when given the material. But God created something out of absolutely nothing. In Yeshayahu 44 and 24, it says, this is what Adonai says, your Redeemer, who formed you, made you. In the womb, I am Adonai, who has made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens, who spread out the earth. What does it say? By myself. The Hasidic masters say this, God brought all things, say all things, into existence out of a prior state of absolute nothingness, so that together they should form the world he desired. Creation ex nihilo. You've heard of that phrase, ex nihilo, of course you have, right? It's a Latin phrase which means out of nothing. It teaches not only that the universe had a singular beginning, but also that the created order is continually dependent upon God's sustaining power. Okay? Matter of fact, it says throughout the letters that Yeshua holds all things together by his word. That God's creative power is still holding things together. Since creating the world, the sovereign God continues to uphold, preserve, and direct his creation. The God of the Bible is therefore revealed as the transcendent creator and the immanent sustainer. God's wondrous intervention in his creation through the doctrine of divine providence overturns the deistic view of God. Deism sees the divine as wholly transcendent. He created it, winded it up someplace, and he just took off, and he's not involved in the affairs of men. A being who creates but does not intervene in the universe. That's not who God is. He's both transcendent and immanent. He created us, but he's with us. Right? What do we talk about? Beit Emmanuel, the house of what? God with us. God came and dwelt among us, both in the tabernacle and then finally in the form of Yeshua HaMashiach. And then by the Ruach HaKodesh that indwells us. God's plan was to be among his people. Yes, transcendent, but also immanent. So how did he create? The scriptures tell us that he did it through his son, the Messiah. It says, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed heir of all things. Listen, and through whom he made the universe. Doesn't it say that? Through whom, Yeshua, he made the universe. The son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his nature. Upholding all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So he became as far superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is excellent beyond theirs. Wow. Colossians 1 says, for in him, say in him, all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible. If you could see him, you can't see him. He made them. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authority, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the kehilah. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in all things, say all things, he may have the preeminence. Hebrews 11:3, by faith, say faith. How do we believe all this? By faith. We understand that the universe was formed at God's command. So what is seen was not made out of what is visible. Bara, God created out of nothingness. Why are we laying this foundation? Because I want to tell you, we are made in the image and likeness of God, right? God created out of nothing. Right? I just want to give you one more just as a little tidbit. You might enjoy it. Midrash Rabbah says about Bereshit 2. It says, and the Spirit of God hovered above the surface of the waters. Here's the commentary. The Spirit of God hovered. This is the Spirit of Mashiach. Which is what we've been saying, that he was there at the beginning. Creating, moving, right? Making, sustaining, holding together. All this revelation, not so we could just understand how things came into being, which is of the utmost importance, but to also understand that this same God and his Messiah can still make something out of nothing. Yeshayahu 43:19, behold, I will do something new. I want to tell you, you might not perceive it, but I pray that you would wake up spiritually. God is fixing to do something new and something powerful and something fresh in our day. But the truth is, you got to believe it, because he's going to do it whether we believe it or not. But we won't get in on it unless we believe. God is going to do something new. And we can read a scripture like this and say, oh my goodness, it's been so long. Friends, I can tell you, God, every prayer you pray, it works through that prayer. God lives outside of time. We live in time, so to us things take long. Not to God. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make, say make, a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God, the Creator, can make rivers in the desert. He could feed the prophet with meat, right? And bread through a raven. He can make a way where there seems to be no way. You could say, man, I have nothing left, God. I don't have anything. I have nothing to give. I have totally nothing. I can't do it, God. I am totally bereft of what I need to see my life move forward. God, it's over for me. And God looks at that and says, no worries, because I'm a God who can make something out of nothing. He can make something out of nothingness in our lives. That's what he did here. Rivers in the desert. God can take nothing, mix it with some faith, and produce the answer to all of our needs and our problems. You hear what I said? He can take our nothing and mix it with some faith. Each of us have been given a measure of faith. And we can take our nothingness and mix it with faith, and God can do powerful things. The question is, really, as it has always been, do you believe that? Do you believe that? That's a paramount question. Because if you believe it, the scripture says all things are possible to you. But if you don't believe that, if you don't believe that, here's my suggestion. If you don't believe that, then you need to get a hold of God till you do believe it. Because God will take nothing, mix it with faith, and produce something. But he can't take nothing and mix it with nothing and get something. You hear what I'm saying? We have a role to play. Yeshua's first miracle in Yochanan, he took two empty pots. Right? Nothing. Empty. And made wine. You see, we can come to him with nothing, and he can produce the something we need and are praying for. He can. But you have to believe he can. He says he can. He's done it himself. But friends, can I tell you, there is a spirit. Don't think that we are in this situation that we're in the world for no reason. There is spirits, principalities, powers, hosts of wickedness that influence people's thinking, your thinking. Of doubt and unbelief. When you hear something, you say, nah, I don't believe that. Well, God can do, nah, I don't really believe that. Or God can heal, yeah, I don't believe it. I won't believe it until I see it. Friend, that is not faith. God doesn't do it first and say, then believe. Who needs faith if he does it first? That's not faith. Faith is believing God while nothing happens. While the diagnosis doesn't change, while things remain the same, but still we believe God that he can and will do it. And God honors faith. And something comes out of nothing. It's amazing. It's supernatural. It is. But I want to tell you, there's also supernatural influences that cause the men of the world to doubt and unbelief. There's a spirit that gets people to doubt the living God. The second thing I want to talk about today. So listen, the good news of point one is no matter what situation you're in, how bankrupt you might be in any given area of your life, that God could take that nothingness and do something with it. The second thing is God brings order out of disorder. The Haaretz, Hayita Tohu Vavohu, Vechoshech Al Pinei Tehom, Veruach Elohim, Merachafet Al Pinei Hamayim. And the earth was without order, and empty, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So God created something out of nothing by first creating the raw materials. He will then take the raw materials and, like a master craftsman, begin to shape the world to his design. He makes the raw materials and then he begins to mold and shape and speak those raw materials into what he wants to fashion it after. I think there is a similarity to how God works in our lives. First, he gives us the raw materials that we need for our lives and for the plans that and the dreams that he gives to us. This is where it's easy to miss out on what God is doing. Hear me. A lot of us miss out on what God is doing because we miss this. God gives us the raw materials of faith, since we've each been given a measure. His word, that is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. If that wasn't enough, he gave us the Ruach HaKodesh to indwell us, to empower us, to be the engine behind all the things that God has given us to dream and hope for. We then must take the raw materials and then order them. Order our steps. The God of order wants to order our steps. It says in Tehillim 37:23, and the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. To see things come into being, we have to take those materials and begin to put them in order, begin to use them. We must first step up. We must step up. A relationship with God requires service. Okay, we're in the first, right, chapters of Bereshit. God told Noah, which is next week, right, to build an ark. Noah didn't do this. Oh, can we build an ark? Awesome. God, I can't wait till you build that ark. Let me kick up. Kids, go get me an iced tea. I'm just going to wait until this ark springs up. Oh, it's going to take a while, but I'm going to just wait for it. This is what we do as believers. God, you promised us things. Man, God, I'm just going to kick up and wait for this to happen. I'm going to wait and believe. Noah waited and believed as he rolled up his sleeves and worked every single day. Hard. He took the raw materials and the dream God gave and began to work it. And what God did was supernatural. Agreed? So we must step up. It requires effort. A person truly pursuing God does not hesitate, but steps up to serve, to take of what God has given him and put it into use. A man serves his wife with the love of Messiah, his children and his extended family. He serves the community of faith. He or she serves his fellow man through their vocational responsibilities. Taking what God has given us and serving is the way we step up. Yeah, everyone is waiting for God just to do it. God is waiting for us to step up. Show me a place in the scripture where God didn't take a man that stepped up to the plate. Always. Yeshua said, "He who is great among you, let him become your servant." Next, to see things come into being, we must step over. We must step over obstacles. Obstacles will always impede our way as we begin to do a good work. Guys, you know what? I know we bemoan obstacles. We bemoan hardship. We bemoan toil. We bemoan, right, the setbacks in life. But I'm going to tell you, obstacles will always seek to impede our way as we begin a good work for God. This is true in the creation account, right? God creates a masterpiece. How long does it take before Hasatan comes in to be an obstacle to what God is doing? How long did it take? Well, we maybe don't know the exact time it took, but we know it's only three chapters later. Chapter 3, right? Already a monkey wrench, already an obstacle. What did God do? Throw up his hands and say, "That's it? Done? That's it? I'm foiled? I can't go on? I can't continue?" Is that what God did? No. No, what God did? Stepped over the obstacle. And God made a way. That didn't derail the purposes of God. You know, in our lives, we get a hangnail. That's it. God doesn't love me. God doesn't love me anymore. Things aren't going perfect. I didn't get the job I want, the promotion I want. I didn't get this I want. It can't be real. Now, you take this obstacle and you step over it. And say, "God, what now?" And God had a plan, did he not? Consider Yeshua just before he started his earthly ministry. Can you imagine the Son of the Living God, the Mashiach, getting ready to start the biggest ministry in the history of the world? What happens to him in the desert just before he starts? What happens? Hasatan comes. And he's tempting him, and he's trying to impede the progress of what God is going to do. What did Yeshua do? Did he say, "Oh man, here I am"? Look, this is what we do, friends. "Here I am, God. You're anointed. And I can't even catch a break. I've been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and look what I get. Look at all this sorus after fasting 40 days and 40 nights. Where's that powerful anointing that you think I would have? And here it is, I'm being harassed by hell. I just want to give up, God. That just doesn't work." Is that what he did? No. He saw the obstacle and he stepped over it. And he used the word of God. He took the resources that he had as a man, fully God, fully man, and used the word of God. And he stepped over his obstacle. What do? When obstacles come in your life. You see, obstacles will often remain in our way until we decide that we're going forward in spite of them. Yeshua, by using the word of God, stepped over them, and we can too. So we must be diligent to keep stepping over every obstacle and keep going. Thirdly, to see things come into being, we must step with others. We must learn how to cooperate with others in order to fulfill our purposes in God. Remember when Moshe almost collapsed under the weight of all the pressure and the problems he faced leading our people from Mitzrayim? Remember that? And his father-in-law, Yitro, said, Moshe, you can't do this by yourself. There's no way you could lead almost 2 million kvetching Jewish people by yourself. You need help. That was good advice. Moshe took him up on it, got help, and it smoothed out. You see, Moshe was leaving his team behind and was doing it all on his own. Friends, some of us do the very same thing. We leave people around us unused and decide we're going to go it alone. And when we go it alone, it's way harder. God wants us to be a community. Isn't it interesting that every book of the Bible is written to a community of faith or to a person to read it before a community of faith, a group of people? Yet we are so individualistic here in the West that we want to do everything on our own, by ourselves. We want our own family, our own two, our own, and that's it, just us. And we want to get it done. God doesn't work that way. He puts us in a community so we can work together. Lastly, on this point, to see things come into being, we must step out. You and I are the lights of the world. We are the light and influence and power of the world, you and I. We cannot hide our light, dare I say, our purpose under a bushel. It must be placed where all can be directed and guided by it. Anyone see the commercial? They had to bring your Bible to school day. Ever see those? See those commercials? See those kids wearing the bushels on their head? And they were taking off their bushel, and they were taking their Bibles to school. My daughter took hers to college. Now she was a little, and of course she got comments, as you can imagine, and she just told them, "It's bring your Bible to school day," and she actually had a little conversation because she brought it, a couple. But to take the bush, come out from under the bushel. Look at me. You are the light of the world. There's no other light that your workmate is going to see but you. In that instance, God placed you there to be a light. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to be obnoxious. You could do it in a real, listen to me. Do it in a real way. Just be you, right? Just be you. You don't have to do any gyration or anything weird or be bizarre. God told me to tell you. The alarms go off. Ah! Listen, we all know those people. No, God told me to give you this paperclip, and the paperclip is your life, and it's all twisted up. And they leave work traumatized, not any closer to God. Listen, be yourself. Share your life with them. Love them. Speak kindly to them. And trust me, as you do this, they're going to ask, hey, so talk freely about your life. Yeah, I went to Shabbat service this weekend. I was blessed. And that's it. You don't have to just, waiting to hear this. That's your life. Share it. And when they ask, you could share what you believe. If they don't ask, you can just love them and pray for them until they ask. Just live your light, though. Don't put it under a book. Be who you are. You are this person. Just be it before the world. And it will open up ample opportunities for you to share your faith. There's a good book I would recommend to you. It's The Spirit Contemporary Life by Leon Fontaine. Get it, download it, read it. It's just about living your life in a normal way, yet seeing God do supernatural things. You don't have to, again, be morph into this religious fanatic person. You know, you could be you. And I don't speak, when I say fanatic, I think that to serve the living God, you have to be fanatical, but you don't have to be weird fanatical. You know what I'm saying? It's just a heart commitment. God's going to work through your own personality, how he wired you. Friends, I'm not a bombastic, really super outgoing person, personally. But God could work through my personality, and he could work through your personality. When we order our steps, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. If God be for us, who can be against us? And here's my question. Have you ordered your steps in the Lord? You see, God created the raw materials, and then he started to order them. God's given you raw materials. He's given you faith. He's given you the Word. He's given you the Holy Spirit. He's given you gifts. He's given you talents. He's given you a personality. That your personality is a personality that can meet the people and speak to the people in your sphere of influence. You don't have to be someone else. Be you. This is the last thing. We're talking about God making something out of nothing, not only in creation, but also out of the nothingness in our lives. To get a better handle of what we must see God as the God of new beginnings. Think of this. Yeshayahu 42:9 says, "Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." Say new things. God is a God of new beginnings. Hey, it's no more poignant than these first seven chapters of Bereshit, is it not? After six chapters, God has to do a reset and do it all again. Yeshayahu 65:17, "For look, I create new heavens and a new earth. Past things will not be remembered. They will no more come to mind. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." That's the desert I want to be in. By the way, deserts do have rivers in them. Just saying. It's true. When God created the heavens and the earth, it was new. But the same is true when he revealed himself to you through Messiah. You became new. You got a new perspective and lease on life. 2 Corinthians 5, "Therefore, if anyone is in Messiah, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things," say all things, "have become new." God is the God of new beginnings. Think about this. By the end of this parsha, like I said, God's ready to, he looks at a messed up world, right, that has made bad decisions, riddled with sin and the like, and he decides there needs to be a new beginning. He doesn't decide to toss in the towel on mankind, does he? He seeks to redeem it and give it a new start. Look at your life. Maybe you're in the need of a new beginning. It's comforting to know that God is good, right? And he wants to redeem us in the face of our mistakes. You know what? The theology that sees God is ready to judge us every time we blow it is not the theology of Scripture. Slow to anger, abounding in love. Right? And I know, yeah, curses to the third and fourth generations, but kindness, it says, to 1,000 generations. God is on your side. Say, God is on my side. Say, God is for me. With God, all things are possible. And in fact, we can have a fresh start with God. Lamentations 3 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never, say never, it never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Just say la. The steadfast love of the Lord never, whether I feel it or I don't feel it, never ceases. His mercies never, never come to an end. So you can't tell me that you're beyond God's mercy. You can't tell me that you're beyond God's love. This verse tells me the love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every single... Did you wake up today? His love and his mercies are abundant toward you today. They never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Friends, we need to really start to get into the Word of God and meditate. You know what? We just read a scripture that we can meditate for a week and say, God, give me a revelation in my heart about of your love and your mercy. This way I don't have to walk around all my life self-condemned every 10 minutes because I did this and I did that and I messed up and I'm not as good. You know what? That's what the enemy wants to heap on us. God's a God of new beginnings. Here's a story. How did you learn to skate? Someone asked the winner of a competition. By getting up every time I fell down, was the reply. The life of faith is also a series of new beginnings, of falling down and getting up again. When we stumble, we often think, I failed again. You ever been there? I might as well give up. But God is the God of new beginnings. He not only forgives our sins, but he also uses our failures to make us wiser. Sometimes our pride can cause us to resist starting again. In Tehillim 25, David showed a heart of humility by praying for forgiveness. He asked the Lord to forgive the sins of his youth in verse 7. And he rejoiced that God teaches sinners in verse 8. He guides and instructs the humble in verse 9. He teaches his ways to those who fear him, verse 12. John Newton, the composer of the song, you ever hear of the song Amazing Grace? You ever hear that one? Expressed a similar perspective. Though I am not what I ought to be, nor what I wish to be, nor yet what I hope to be, I can truly say I am not what I once was. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Do you feel like a failure? Do you need a new start? Go to the Lord in humility and he will show you that he's the God of new beginnings. It looked like a catastrophe. Can you? The God of the universe, the all-wise God, makes a creation, and by chapter 6, it looks like it's beyond saving. This is a bad look, no? The PR people in heaven were probably reeling. What am I going to do with this? not God. He said, listen, this is what we're going to do. It's bad, granted. But we'll just fix it. We'll redo it. And God promises another day that there will be a new heavens and a new earth. And God's going to redo it again. He redid it to bring salvation to the earth, and he'll redo it again. He'll make a new heavens and a new earth in which dwells righteousness. That's what the word says. We live in a world where unrighteousness abounds. He's coming to reset it again, and this time it's going to be a world. Think about it. No sun or no moon. Because the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be the light. In which dwells righteousness. Could you imagine a society that you don't have to watch over your shoulder? No bad things, where righteousness reigns and is the standard. Well, God said he's going to reset it again. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound of grace is. That saved. The word says wretch. What is that? A sinner. A broken person. Someone falling far short of God's standards. Saved someone like me. I was lost. But now God found me. I was blind. I was blind to God and his ways. I was blind that it was God that was behind everything I see in the world, the universe. That it didn't happen by accident. It happened by the hand of the Creator God, who sent his Redeemer into the earth to help me and save me, and who again soon, one day, will press the reset again and make a world wherein dwells righteousness. Now I see. Failure is never final for those who begin again with God. God is a God, in closing, that makes something out of the nothingness in your life. God brings order out of disorder, and he is the God of new beginnings. That's who he is. He has defined himself in that way. And he has a wonderful plan and purpose for your life. Will you allow him to show you that? To be that God for you? Is he God the creator to you? Is he God the sustainer and redeemer to you? Is he the God of new beginnings for you? That's important. Because he could be all those things, but not them to me personally. Unless I receive him by faith. Faith is huge, friends. Let's bow our hearts and go to God in prayer. Father, you see every single person in this room. God, you know every situation, every circumstance, every struggle, every trial, every hardship, all the pain, all our histories. God, you know from where we came from, and Lord, you also know the way you're leading us. You know the plans and purposes for our lives, that they're good, not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. And God, I pray over every soul in this room, God, that you would, Lord, give them eyes to see you, God, the creator of the universe, the all-powerful, almighty, immanent God who dwells with them and is for them and is behind them and is desirous for them to succeed in life. God, I just release a new measure of faith into every heart. God, I release, Lord God, new beginnings into every person's heart and life. God, that, Lord, though the days may have been good up until now, God, you desire to do a new thing, a better thing. God, not like the old thing, but God, a new thing, greater and more glorious in their life and in your kingdom. And God, we pray, God, that in the days ahead, we will see, Lord, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. God, that we will see, Lord, you move in power and might through our lives, through our personalities, to change the world one life at a time. Father, we ask it and we receive it in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And everyone said, amen. Let's stand and close with the Aaronic blessing. Yivarech Adonai v'yishmerecha, Yoer Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha, Yisar Adonai panav elecha, V'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Father, I pray the peace of Messiah that transcends and surpasses understanding would guard your people's heart and mind. And we ask it B'Shem Yeshua, and God's people said, amen. God bless. Thanks for listening. Shabbat shalom.